Well, this morning we're going to be looking at God's Word, and we're in our series here, for those of you who may be here for the very first time, of Faith, Family, and Friends. This is a series, not this particular one, but this particular time that I just pray over and just seek God's guidance. And how can I, by God's grace and by His leader, how can I work and just teach God's Word that will stir all of us up as we launch into this new year? We're coming out of the summer, and this is a time when people make fresh commitments, and many people make life-changing decisions to just step across the line and begin following Jesus Christ in ways that they've not done before. And so I really want to just, you know, get in on that. And there may be some of you this morning that's just kind of resonating with you. And I want you to know you're here at the right time, because that's what this is all about. My desire is to form in all of us, you know, for all of us, even who've been here maybe for years and years, it's just a restirring, a re-solidifying of this conviction that is in us, that we are going to make, not only for ourselves, but for our family, we're going to make worship on the hill, serving through a ministry, serving to others, and being part of a life group, we're going to make that a weekly part of our life. That's just what we do. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much more as you see the day of the approaching of Jesus Christ coming, as is the habit of many." Many people down through the years will gradually wander off. You don't want to do that. That is the pathway to losing blessings from God, losing His leadership, getting lost in life, which is so easy to do. And so the normal way of life for a believer is once every 7 days, you gather yourself together, you and your family or yourself if you're single, and you come to worship. And we hope that worship on the hill is where you'll come. And that's just normal. That's just what you do. Now, I want you to notice this morning that the focus here this morning is on men. And I know it's not Father's Day, and I know that we've already gone down that pathway, but I want to speak to you guys, and I'll share with you why. But my text that I want to use, just right out of God's Word, is 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all you do be done in love. Wow, that's absolutely huge. Now, let me just share with you a couple of points. If you've got your life point outline and just pull it out there this morning, let me just give you a couple of things about why this message is important and what I want to say before we take the Lord's Supper this morning. First of all, why am I talking to men, young men, senior adults, whoever, all you guys in between, all of us who call ourselves men? Because, number one, morality has taken a hit in America. And I don't want to beat this horse, but this is just really, really important as we're just kind of getting our feet underneath us with these breathtaking events that have taken place during the summer. There is more of a need, guys, for real men today, I think, than has been certainly in my lifetime. The Supreme Court of the United States has, in the last few months and in the last several decades, they have made two attacks on the authority of the Word of God, which has been absolutely breathtaking for me and possibly for you. And what I want you to know has happened is Satan is a prophet. Satan made a prophecy to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5 when they were talking about the forbidden fruit. And Eve saw the delectableness of it, but she said, "God told us not to eat of that or we would die." And so Satan said, "You won't die." He said, "But here's what will happen. If you eat, you will become as gods." Now, what he didn't say is, in your own mind. You will become as gods, meaning in your own mind, and you will declare that you know what is good and you know what is evil. And what has happened, ladies and gentlemen, in our country is that the Supreme Court of the United States has declared that what God calls evil is actually good, and what God calls good is actually evil. They have convoluted it. They have declared several decades ago that murder isn't murder at all. They declared that taking the life of a child in the womb of its mother is really not murder. Taking the life of an unborn child is not evil. They said, no, that's good. Because it's worse for a person to have financial difficulties than it is for you to take the life of a child. It is worse for a woman to have to struggle than it is to kill a baby. And so they declared murder is really not murder. What God called evil, they called good. And then here recently, they have boldly declared marriage isn't marriage. If you say that marriage is only and always one man and one woman, the Supreme Court said that's not good. In fact, it's actually evil and it's bigoted. It's wrong. It's just wrong to say it's only and always one man and one woman. Now, here's what I want us to understand. There is no question that I, as a man, have to understand that if I believe Holy Scripture, Satan is energizing this blasphemous rebellion against heaven and against heaven's God. That's where it's all coming from. And the Bible says that Satan holds the whole world in his hands. Literally, Scripture says the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. And so what does that mean? What it means is that the Holy Trinity, the Bible, and the church are the sworn enemies of Satan. Satan absolutely hates those things. And Satan, according to Scripture, rules the world of sinners. He has power in high places. He is the ruler of darkness. And as such, God says, you need to understand, he hates light, he hates truth, he hates what is pure, and he hates what is holy. Now, beloved, let me just say it again. It just needs to always be said, because once we get outside these walls, we hear absolutely the opposite. But so that we always know, in Genesis, God made it very clear, if you believe Holy Scripture, he said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. God didn't make anything else in between. He only made male, he only made female. And God said, a marriage is when a man leaves his father and his mother and is attached and lives with his wife, and they come together and they create a union that is for life. They come together and they make a confession. One of us is going to stand at the grave of the other one. We're going to be there to the end. That's what marriage means. One of us will attend the other one's funeral. We're together, and we're going to hear his challenge that we are to bring children into the world. Every homosexual relationship on the planet, always and forever, is sterile. That it is incapable of reproduction. What does that tell you? God said, marry and be fruitful and multiply. Homosexual marriages cannot multiply. They are not from the Almighty. They're not from our Creator. It goes totally against everything that He commanded us in marriage to do. Can I get an amen on that? And I just want to say that. I just want you to understand it. But you don't go far in Genesis until you run into polygamy, incest, prostitution, rampant homosexuality, all in the first 19 chapters of Genesis. What God is simply saying is, men, understand, there have always been corruptions that have marked human society. Most of us, if you're around my age, or maybe a little, if you're older than me, or maybe a little bit younger, we grew up in a time where America was living under the influence of Christianity that we were born into, and it held back the tide of evil. But that wall is crumbling, and the moral fiber of our nation has taken a second hit with this last move of the court. And as I told you before in the other message that I did, Listen America, I believe, according to what God says in Romans chapter 1, that God has given our country over to a depraved mind. so that we call evil good and good evil. And that's why these alarming, breathtaking things are happening that we never thought would take place. And what it means is, ultimately, is that God has been so abused, God has been so sidestepped, God and the leadership in America has so been taken over by men and women who do not know Him, that God has come to the place He is removing, restraining grace. The good news is, I believe that grace can be restored. I believe with God there's always hope. How about you? I just think there's always hope until the end. And Satan's goal, I want you to understand this. Satan's goal is not to redefine gender. That's not his goal. That's a byproduct. Caitlyn Jenner is a tool in Satan's arsenal. He has huge national appeal. And his overwhelming struggle to battle his own personal sin tears at the heart of America. And I totally understand that. I do. It is grievous and it hurts. But I want you to know when Satan is through with him, he will throw him away or destroy him because he is only a tool. And understand this. We need to pray for him because if you look at Deuteronomy 22 and 5, his lifestyle is a lifestyle of someone who doesn't know the Lord. 22 of Deuteronomy verse 5 says, it is an abomination for a man to dress like a woman and for a woman to dress like a man. That doesn't mean you can't wear your brother's shirts or shorts from time to time, girls. But it just means if you put them on because you want to pass yourself off as a man, God said that's morally repulsive to him. That's what he's talking about. And so Satan's goal is not to redefine gender. His goal is not to redefine marriage. Satan's goal, and this is in your outline, I think, his objective is to destroy what God has designed wherever it is. It's just part of the plan. And so that's not his ultimate thing. It's just part of the process. That's what he's doing. So that brings me then to number two this morning. What does God want from you and me as men? What does God want? I just think that's a question. I want you to know this has rattled me. This passage has nailed me. I have called myself into question. I have struggled with this. That God is just saying, are you going to play the part of a man, John? It is true that morality has taken a hit in America, that our country is losing her way. She is removing the ancient landmarks of our forefathers that were established here. But God has given us a promise. Now, would you listen to this promise? Isaiah 59:19. This is from the King James Version. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Doesn't that bless your heart? Huh? When Satan just comes in like a rolling tide, just destroying everything in its path, the promise of God is every time Lucifer does that, I will lift up a standard against him. I will lift up a resistance against him. God promises you and me that he is going to do this. And here's the insight I want you to see in your outline. A standard God has used through the centuries to withstand evil is men. It's men. It's you and me, guys. And our text, look back at our text in 16 verse 13. Stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Do you know in our culture today, how are men judged? Men are judged by their physique. You know, how do you look in a mirror? Men are judged by the amount of money they have, by the possessions, the car they drive. They're judged by their life success. They're judged by the job that they hold. How does God judge manhood? Because it's not by any of that. Look at it in your outline. Here's an insight. God has a one-word definition for what it means to be a man, and that word is fortitude. And in Webster's Dictionary, I want you to listen to the definition of fortitude. Guys, just listen to this. I didn't write it down. Fortitude, I don't know, this may be in your notes. Anyway, fortitude is the strength and the courage of soul which enables a person, a man in particular, to encounter danger with coolness, to bear pain or adversity without murmuring, without depression, and without despondency. That's a man. That's what it means to be a man. And the insight in your outline, fortitude is a combination of three things: conviction, courage, and strength. A man, guys, is a man when he stands on principle. When we're guided by principle. That's what God made us for. And when he planted us in a home, he said, your calling by me is to be a man who stands on principle, and that you will uphold that principle with courage, and you will muster up the strength to stand against whatever attack comes against you standing on that principle. That's what it means to have fortitude, that you're a man of principle. You've got conviction, and you've got the guts to stand your ground for what you believe. And whenever an attack is launched against you, you'll look it square in the eye and not move. Kind of makes you want to stick your chest out, doesn't it? Huh? That's what it means to be a man. Fortitude is the willingness to face challenges, the willingness to face, to attack difficulties, to bear adversity, and to do it like a winner. Biblically, women want to be, no, throw a rock at me, want to be protected by godly men. They want to be nourished. They want to be cherished. Those are biblical words, ladies. Don't, okay, I'm just saying. Women want security. That's natural for a woman. Men are not designed that way. We are designed by God to be protectors. We're designed to be the savior. We're the one that if danger comes, we're the one who jumps in front of our wife and takes the bullet. We do that. It's just in us to be the savior, to protect our kids. We want to provide security, and we want to do what it takes to get our family planted in some safe place. God has put in us that desire to guard the front door. So to be a man means to have courage. Courage to stand on convictions and the strength to withstand any kind of onslaught against the convictions that you have. But where do those convictions come from? Because that's the fourth thing I want to add to this. My conviction and your conviction, it is important from God's perspective that we get that from truth. That our convictions are based on truth. To God, being a man means that the convictions that drive us are not our own, but are based on Holy Scripture. That is why one of my desires is from week to week, and whoever's behind this pulpit, that every message comes from the Word. It comes directly from the Word, because that's the only thing we're interested in hearing on Sunday morning here anyway, right? It's just, what does the Word say? So I want you to look at our text again. Be on the alert. Being a man means that we are assigned the responsibility of protecting our family. So that means if I'm going to do that, I have to be on alert. I have to be on alert to the dangers. That's why Ephesians 6 and 4 says, fathers, bring up your children in the nurture, that's the discipline, and the admonition, the instruction of the Lord. Why? Because you want to keep warning them against danger. You want to warn them against the danger that is coming from the outside that attacks your convictions, the principles that guide your life, the principles that are put inside of you to protect your family. So you're always on the alert. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Here's the next insight. For a man, convictions based on truth are non-negotiable and they're non-compromising. A man, God's man, will, like a male lion protecting his pride, we will confront any kind of assault against the truth that, as far as we're concerned, is going to defile our family. And we will hold our ground and will not yield. Why? Because we're going to protect what's ours. That's manliness. We are strong. We are driven by convictions based upon the truth of the Word of God. And look at verse 14. He said, do it in love. You do it out of this love. And that, what that simply means is, and guys, this is where we have to be careful. We too often are, you know, we just have to be careful. We don't walk on the heart and the soul of our wife and our children. Why? Because he warns us in verse 14, do it in love. In fact, Ephesians 6 and 4 says, do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't make them mad at you. Don't make them so angry that they no longer want to listen to you. If it's not done in a love that they can perceive, you will come across as a bully and not as a dad who has strong convictions for protecting them. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. David the king is about to die. He charges his son Solomon, who will succeed him. He said, I'm going the way of all the earth. It's one of the most famous lines in all the Word of God. You know what that means? Everybody dies. Right? Everybody dies. None of us get out alive. We're all going to die. And he says, be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Literally what David said, he said, Solomon, be strong. Become a man. Because a man is synonymous with strength and courage. He says in verse 3, keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all you do and wherever you turn. So what is God saying to us this morning, guys? He said, this is a day for men. This is a day when we find ourselves in a country that is turning away from the guidelines and the directives of the God of our soul. Our God is being forsaken one commandment at a time. America is losing her touch with the holy. That means if you and I believe in him and trust him and we are given to him, we have to realize we're in a day where it's calling on us to be men, to stand strong and protect our family. If we want to be a man, then obey the word of God. If you want to be a man, we must not waver. If we want to be a man, we have to be strong. We have to be faithful to the word of God, unwavering in our convictions. The definition of a man is men don't give in to fear. Men don't give in to pressure. Men don't give in to intimidation. They don't seek the easy way, the secure place. They fight the war. They fight the battle. They live on principle and conviction. They have the courage of those convictions, so they stand strong against the opposition and face the challenges those convictions bring. We are living in a day when if you and I stand on conviction, if we stand on principle, we will be called bigots. And we can't let that scare us. It's not true. We stand on principle. 1 Kings chapter 9, Solomon finished the temple. God appeared to him and he says, I've heard your prayer. And if you walk before me, doing everything I command, keep my statutes and ordinances, then I will establish your throne. What is God telling him? Listen, he's saying, if you will be a man of integrity, Solomon, if you will not waver, if you will live an undivided life, I will bless you. But if you compromise your principle, if you compromise on me, you will lose my blessing. Adam compromised and he lost Eden. Moses compromised and he lost Canaan. Samson compromised and he lost his eyes and he lost his life. Judas compromised and he lost his soul forever in hell. Saul compromised and he lost his kingdom. And what God is simply saying is that he wants to bless us. He wants to be with us as we come in and go out. But the requirement for that is that we walk in faithfulness to him, that we are men. It doesn't mean that we are belligerent. It doesn't mean that we are ugly. It doesn't mean that we are brutal. But it does mean that as men, We know what our convictions are, and we stand. That's how we protect our family. Because we've got children and grandchildren that are growing up in a world for which there are no precedents except what we're taught in the Word. And the only way to keep from not losing our way is to hang with the Word of God. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment, please. We're going to get ready for the Lord's Supper. Before we do that, I want to give you an opportunity as men today. I would like to just have a prayer for men. And so, as the music begins, let's stand together. And guys, if you have a desire just for God to run a rod up your back, that you will be more and more firm in just standing for the Word in a day when people are losing their way, I just want to invite you to just come and just stand down here with me, and we're going to pray over ourselves. We're going to pray for God's Holy Spirit that we will live like men, and that we will be men of conviction, that we will be men who love people, we'll be men who share the gospel, but we'll be men of conviction and have strength to stand on those convictions, the courage to stand on them, and the strength to withstand any kind of onslaught that comes against us. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the Word. God, you have just nailed me. You have put your hand on us as men. That we're in a day for God called men. We need to find our way to live the life of Paul and the apostles. To be in a world that doesn't know you. But to learn how to share the gospel, which is the hope of America. Father, what is needed in America is the preaching of the Word. Now, thank you for men who support the labor here. Thank you for the tithers and the givers. Thank you, Father, for putting in our heart that week to week we'll give out the gospel, we'll preach the Word. Because it's the only way to change America, to turn America back to you. And so, Father, I pray for these men who may feel pressure to cave, to crater, that, Lord, you will strengthen us now. Draw us to yourself. May we remember you don't give us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. So, God, strengthen us. May the Word be planted deep in our heart, and may you be pleased as we stand as men for you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Bless.